guys, welcome to the Black Swing Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode. This Melanin March. I don't know if you heard, Eugene.
Melanin March, oh.
Melanin March. We had Black History Month, February. This month is Melanin March. So shout out to all our Black people out here. We are extending Black History Month celebration for the rest of the year because it's been a little bit funny out here. So that's why we are here to quickly give you a preview of the Sunshine Doubles, the AKA fifth Grand Slam, not my fifth Grand Slam to me, but yeah, just a very quick pod. We did ask for voice notes, but guys, you guys didn't send a voice note this time. What's going on? To be fair, it's actually our fault. What my fault?
I did
ask a little bit late, but it's because I was waiting for the draw to come out, but I should have probably said, hey, when the draw is out, just send it. But even if we don't request, guys, feel free to send it. Or if you're not comfortable to send a voice note, send us a DM. Again, we want to make it interactive this year. But yeah, Eugene, how are you feeling? I really want to publicly thank you for jumping on the call quickly, straight off to work, you know, coming straight from the office. Obviously, I was working too, but I'm working from home. Like, it's different now. I would have to just move my laptop. You have to physically, you know, move. So,
commitment, yeah, appreciate commitment and dedication.
Commitment, dedication. So that's why, guys, please subscribe, like, share, and tell your peoples to listen to our pod. As you can see, we are putting a lot of dedication. Before we crack on to Indian Wells draw, we do have, as I said, Melanin March, so we are celebrating. You know, quick shout out to our recent finalists, Taylor Townsend, who was a finalist in Austin, and Francis TFO as well in
Acapulco,
that's it. Both played incredibly well. Taylor, I want to give her extra credit because, you know, she was there with her son as well. I think he came from the quarterfinals or something like that. And a reminder that Taylor Townsend still doesn't have a coach. So this was just her and all the hard work. So really, really, really great to see. And although she was a finalist in Austin, she still won doubles with Storm Hunter.
Top seeds.
She still left with something as
Didn't drop a set as well in that doubles run. So yeah, very, very good. And just in the singles as well, quickly, like she beat some very good players, like a lot of young Czech, like up and comers. So Linda Fritova, and Nikola Buttonkova.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, also got a good win against Ashley Kruger in the semi-finals, which is really, really impressive. So yeah, very, very good from Townsend. Her first ever WTA tour final as well, which I found incredible.
Yeah,
but again, just shows, like, obviously she's been doubles world number one, and she's been a junior world number one as well in singles. So yeah, like a super, super talented player, and it's nice to see her like kind of getting rewarded, like. At this time or this period of her career.
For sure.
I also want to shout out, actually, you did mention it, massive, massive shout out to Christian Court, because he was doing some really good work in Austin.
All the interviews he's been sharing, like, he's been asking like really great questions.
Yeah.
It's been really, like, I've been reposting a lot of them on TikTok. And yeah, he did say that he was actually going to try and do a lot of these this year. So guys, please go ahead and follow Christian's call. The question has been great, really engaging. And you can tell the players are actually also enjoying it as well.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
We need to have him back on the pod as well.
That's a good shout. That's a very good shout.
Yeah,
very, very good shout. And you also mentioned Francis Tiafoe as well. Like, again, reaching the final in Acapulco, ATP 500 event, lost to Fabio Caboli in the final there. That was Tiafoe's first final since Houston last year. The first hard court final since Cincinnati in 2024 when he lost to Danik Sinner. So yeah, just good to see him like kind of getting matches together. And he will also massive, massive shout out as well, because he wasn't actually feeling well. Like, he was actually under the weather. Like, he was ill basically, and he still managed to win four matches to get to the final. And then yeah, just kind of ran out of steam a little bit against Caboli, losing in straight sets, but. Yeah, super
this
effort.
This is like one of the best he's played in a long time, this tournament. So
rankings also going up as well, up to 22 in the world. So yeah, knocking on the door again of the top 20, which is obviously where he wants to be, and then once you're there.
I think he said his aim is to be top 10 this year. I remember him saying in an interview or a press conference or something. I think that's what he said.
So yeah, no, good to see him do well. And also just quickly too, Jasmine Paolini. So she hadn't had the best kind of time in the Middle East. I think she lost basically earlier. Well, she didn't win a match basically in that Middle Eastern one. So she went over to, she got a wild card in Merida, Mexico, which is a WTA 500, reached the semifinals there, lost to Christina Buxer, the eventual champion in the semifinals. But she did get two good wins, especially against Katie Bolter, when she lost the first set 6-0.
Yes, 6-0. Yeah, when I saw that, I was like,
incredible Paolini, way, like, but she bounced back.
What a fight.
So, for sure, yeah, 100%. Good to see her get some wins under her belt heading into the Sunshine Double. So, I think we should pretty much get into Indian Wells with the draw.
Let's get into Indian Wells, fifth Grand Slam. Big money prize, 1.1 million for the champ. Starting tomorrow. Last round of qualifying is on right now. Some of the players we're mentioning will be playing qualifying, so keep an eye on that. Let's get it. Obviously, for us, first AFC Ben Shelton, first round bye. He's coming in on form. He won a title last month at Dallas. Last year, he did lose to Jack Draper, the defending champion, in the quarterfinals. And second round, he could face Opelka or Quinn. There's a lot of Americans in his section, which is pretty interesting. But yeah, I think he'll be doing pretty good. I definitely see him going into the second week. I think the conditions will be great for Shelton. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that's a decent draw. I will say, just before we kind of run down the draw, I did say it to you off air. I don't like the fact that all 32 seeds get first round buys. I just think it slows everything down. And I find it a bit unnecessary. I think with it being a Masters event as well, like, just play, everybody should just play from the first round. Like, I don't understand having to get first round buys, but
yeah, it was so weird seeing like all the predictions of everyone is like round two prediction. And it's but the good thing of it though, I feel like, it forces you to focus on other players the first round. So I think there's a good thing about it. So even when I was like trying to figure out, okay, which first rounds are really like worth like watching, like there's some of the players that I feel like I probably wouldn't have watched, or maybe you would have missed out a little bit. So it's a plus for the lower ranked players or the players who are not like seeded as high as well, for like a good reason, you know. And like I said, prize money is big. people keep forgetting that tennis players are self-employers. Okay, the economy is messed up. You want to get that bag, so we'll see how it goes. Looking forward to Shelton. I'm not as worried at all. American crowd and everything. So yeah, it should be good. Before we actually continue, do you want to touch a little bit on the conditions?
Yeah.
Now, if you are a regular Blackspin Global listener, you will know that I am the number one hater of the Indian Wells court conditions. If Indian Wells court speed has zero haters, that means I am not here no more. And come to find out that now they've changed the balls, people are still trying to figure out how it is. We still don't have that many answers. People are trying to see from the qualifying matches. Apparently, the balls are now making it the courts a little bit faster, just slightly, based on the serves or the qualifiers that they've been looking for the women's. People are doing... It's so, like, tennis fans were such big nerds. Like, people are using maths and science trying to figure out what is it going to be like, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting. The players, however, so far not been sounding really happy. Taylor Fritz complained. I can't remember, there's another player. I forgot his name. I'm so sorry. But he took a picture of the balls that he was hitting for 20, 25 minutes. Eugene.
Fluffed
up like crazy. So it'll be very interesting to see. Please keep an eye on my tweets when I'll probably be cussing out these conditions, because I do feel like, even as a fan, even though obviously I don't play tennis, but even as a fan watching it, unbearable unbearable. But anyways.
Hi guys, this is just a quick break. If you are enjoying our show and our podcast, please make sure to leave a review and rate our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other DSPs. This will help us to reach a wider audience just like you and get a lot more listeners so we can keep on building our community and give you these great podcasts as well.
And if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe.
And as you can see here, our beautiful merch. Make sure you go on Blackspin Global Podcast to cop our merch. This actually helps us fund this platform to keep on giving you these podcasts and most importantly, to attend to the tournaments. And now we'll head back to the show. Thank you again for listening and tuning in.
Up next, we have Felix Auger-Aliassime, ninth seed, first round bye, of course. He could face the GOAT, one and only, Gaël Monfils, second round. Last year, he actually didn't play. I think he pulled out an injury or something like that. But again, he's coming in on form, tight in Montpellier, final in Rotterdam, semi-final in Dubai where he lost to the champion, Daniel Medvedev.
Playing, he's back. He looks like he's playing.
He's back. But one thing that still has not changed. You know what I'm going to say, but I'm not going to say it. But you know what I'm going to say. Anyway, I will say his draw is a little bit tough. Quite a few top players in this section. But I'm not as worried because I feel like ever since his US Open run, he's been in a really, really good place. He's moving really well. He's very confident. And the matches have been great for him. So, yeah, how do you think he's going
to
do?
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see Felix. I think, again, like you said, he's in a very good place. Like, he's had a very good start to the season. Mm-hmm. I would like it if he does end up playing Gaël Monfils in that second round match. Obviously, Monfils has to get through his first round, which is against a qualifier.
Yeah.
Also, just to mention as well, Monfils had a nice send-off in Acapulco. He played Acapulco last week.
Mm-hmm,
and they gave him like a nice little presentation, which is nice to see.
For sure.
So that's going to be a match to definitely look out for. But I expect Felix to come through just because of the way he's been playing. Like
100%. I'm with you. I'm with you.
And yeah, I mean, why not Felix have a deep run in Indian Wells? Like,
mm-hmm.
Again, obviously it's not indoors, but it's a hard court. Like, we all know you can play on a hard court.
Mm-hmm,
And yeah, I mean, I think the conditions probably do suit him as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
Excited to see what he can produce in for California.
Sure. For sure. Up next, we have, as we mentioned, Francis Tiafoe earlier, who's on form, playing well, 21st seed. Second round, he could face Popperin or Brooksby.
That's tough. I think that's tough.
That's tough, yeah. Yeah. Brooksby is who he lost to in Houston last year, right?
Exactly. Houston final. Yeah. I think he also lost to him in Washington as well, which is a hard court.
Yes. So it's going to be interesting. I think because he just had a good run, and like I said, he's been playing really well. I think he'll probably put a better fight this match than compared to the previous matches.
Yeah.
But he still has a, I feel like his draw is still a little bit tough because even if he goes through that, he could potentially face again Kabali in round three. But
it's funny too because Kabali, the head to head now is 2-1. So heading into that final, he'd never lost to Kabali. Mm. So he had a 2-2 love head to head lead. But yeah, now obviously Kabali, he's improved a lot. Like
improved. Kabali can be very tough. He can be very aggressive. He can be very annoying to play against. Like, you just don't know what to really expect from him. So I can see that. But yeah, we'll see how Francis does. And plus, you know, American crowd should be fine. And also this is actually a very fun fact. Lululemon is going to be the official sponsorship at Indian Wells.
Okay, it's all the ball
so it's kids. No longer, exactly. I think before it was
Fila.
Yeah, it was Fila. So yeah, Lululemon's going to be things. So yeah, his brand's going to be there, you know. So even if, you know, he doesn't do as good, the money coming in. our last seeded player for us, Arthur Fils, VFC. Playing really well. Obviously, he was supposed to play at Dubai and he pulled out the last minute and I'm glad that he did. I was a bit worried about him playing again, but he pulled out. But he was there at the tournaments. You know, he does live in Dubai anyway.
He was supporting Giovanni. You see that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was really cool. Obviously, first round bye. Second round qualifier. And then he could potentially face Felix in round three. You guys put in Felix against black players all the time. It's like Baptiste always facing a black player in a WTA. Like, it's enough. It's actually enough. Yeah.
But there's also an interesting matchup in the last round of qualifying in the women's draw as well. We'll get to in a minute. But
yeah I know. It's like, I just...
You never have anything good, I'm joking.
We can't have anything good, man. Can't have anything good. They probably sort of us complain about Black History Month. They say, yeah? Hold on.
That was last end.
Month. Cut it. But it's okay. Like I said, it's melanin in March. We got this. But again, I know it sucks when we have our players playing against each other, but on TV is great, you know. We used to get this once in a while with the Williams sisters. Now we're getting it more and more and more. We need to see the positive of it, which is we're now seeing more black players, more top black players as well, and playing their best. And it's always
exactly.
at the highest level. And you can tell that all the black players like get along. They try to support each other because at the end of each match, there's always all love, even though they're all from different countries as well. So really, really cool. So I wouldn't be mad at seeing that match anyways. It'll be annoying, of course, because we want more black players at the end. But round three, Felix, I think it'll be it'll be an exciting match regardless. Exactly. And I feel like those conditions will work really well for Feast. In terms of the rest of our players, there's one player I really wanted to talk about, Gabriel Jalou, mainly because I know the start of his season has been kind of rocky, early exits. But when I really analysed it, if you look at it, he did have a lot of tough first rounds. So in the Australian Open, Alexander Zverev, who ended up being the semi-finalist, Shelton in Dallas, who ended up being the champion. He lost another player his previous tournament as well. I forgot to note it down. And in India, even Indian Wells, he's facing first round the Italian Bellucci.
Yeah, Matteo Bellucci.
Yeah. And then even if he wins that match, he could face Rublev in the second round. So, yeah, you add all of that and then you add the fact that, you know, it's still competitive for the ATP, but he's also has a new team as well. So I feel like he's in the middle of transitioning a lot of different things while he's facing tough opponents. But I feel like that's always the toughest moment for a lot of players when their rankings are going up. But at the same time, you know, those first couple rounds will get dead. I really hope he's able to... I hope he doesn't get too much into his head because he's being a bit quiet. I feel like before he even to be a little bit more active on social, so you don't really see him as much. So now I'm really wondering like what's going through his head, how he's feeling.
I think he's locked in. Like you said, he's got a new team. So Jonas Bjorkman now, the Swede, like former doubles champion, like Grand Slam champion. Mm-hmm. That's his main coach now, which is quite exciting. So... And again, it kind of came out of nowhere too, because obviously, like you said, he rose up the rankings like quite a lot like last year. So he had a very good season, won his first title as well in St. Togenbosch. And yeah, this season it's been slower, but like you said, he's adapting now because obviously the level that he's playing at, like he now needs to kind of maintain that. And that does kind of, I guess, bring its own kind of pressures. But I feel like He's in a good place. I feel like Diallo's results for me aren't like a surprise or a shock. Like he's pretty much right where he should be, I feel, at this stage of his career.
Yeah.
I feel as well, when him being unseeded, he's always going to be like a dangerous player for like a seeded player to face like early rounds because he's got such a big game. Like, and I even had him down beating Alexander Zverev in Australia the first round.
I mean, he took a set.
Exactly. It was a four-set defeat. Like, because I feel like he's that kind of player. Like, he could literally upset anybody, like, as in one of the top seeds. So, I think very interesting to watch this match against Bellucci. Bellucci, too, he's an interesting one. Italian.
These Italian players, it's not just Sinner that can just be all these Italian players can
just coming out of nowhere.
Bro, like even if Sinner's just chilling, they're out here doing something. So
Bellucci's been around as well for a minute and he's another one. He's on his grind. So that could potentially be a long one. But I'm gonna say Diallo's gonna win that. I feel pretty confident. But yeah, definitely watch this space. And obviously, like you said, Rublev second round, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. I mean, you see, you know, Rublev sometimes, Rublev is Rublev. So if Rublev be Rublev, then we good.
I think you made the semi, didn't you make the semis last week? And I'm pretty sure you made the semis last week.
I can't remember top of my head. I'm not going to lie. I'll be honest. The last week, it was really hard for me to get into. It was just like too much going on at the same time. And I knew Indian Wells was coming. And I was like, I need to lock in.
Raise yourself.
Sure. Yeah, man. One thing at a time.
Yeah, you made the semis in Dubai. Lost the group.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Well, we shall see how that goes. One player that I forgot to note down when I was making the notes was GMP. But yeah, he is facing, I am leaving that for you.
The pole, Kamil Majerak. Yeah. So, and again, Petri Perricard, he lost to Felix last week in Dubai.
He did.
And that's where I saw Artur Fils supporting his fellow Frenchman. Mm-hmm. He played quite well though in that match, I thought. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a very, very good match, like, on his side. But again, that was for me just Felix playing. He's at a very high level at the moment. So again, mm-hmm. that result wasn't like a shock, let's say. But yeah. I think GMP could be pretty happy with like where his game's at the moment. And again, I'd be expecting him to come through that match against Majerak. And hopefully go on a run. I mean, second round is going to be tough. Who's he playing second round? Mm-hmm.
Novak. But one journalist tweeted that he was like touching kind of like his forearm. This is the thing with you, Novak. Sometimes I can't tell if you know, you're sneaky like that. Novak can be like, not in a bad way, before you guys come and attack me, which is smart. Let me pretend, make it seem like, yeah, so people can be relaxed. And the next unit is going to be like, pow, pow, pow. But yeah, apparently he's been feeling up his body a little bit, specifically his forearm. I don't know.
Because he hasn't played since Australia, has he?
He hasn't played since Australian Open. No, he hasn't played since Australian Open. He doesn't need to be honest. If I was him, there's no 1,000 tournament. Because remember, he said as well, he's like, listen, you're mostly going to see me only at 1,000 tournaments and Grand Slams now. It's only if he's done a while without playing well, he'll play to a smaller tournament. But yeah, remember the Greece one was mainly because of his family and he's moved there and invested. Yeah, exactly. So that's different. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. How you feeling about the men's? Actually, no, sorry. Last but not least, sorry, before I jump. Obviously, like we said earlier, wild card Gaël Monfils, last Indian Wells of his career. He does have a qualifier first round, which is great. So at least we see him a little bit longer. And as we said earlier, he could be potentially facing Felix Auger-Aliassime in the second round. But yeah, definitely going to be exciting. Great atmosphere, great time. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, overall, how are you feeling about the men's going into Indian Wells?
Like,
as a whole, no, not specifically just the black men players, but just
I'm excited. I think everyone's kind of in Indian Wells is pretty much like a Grand Slam in terms of like the way it feels like the players are very excited and like up for it. So I think from that alone, like it's something you just have to look forward to. And like for me, Lucy, being a fan, obviously, like, I don't know about you, but it feels weird, like not having any tennis to watch, like for the past 2 days, like it's odd. So I'm looking forward to it all kicking off on Wednesday. And yeah, it's good to see everyone's in there. All the top guys are there. Sinner, Alcaraz, I should say Alcaraz, Sinner. I want to say all of the top 10. And yeah, just in terms of like from a batsman perspective, like our guys are playing well, man. Ben Shelton, Tiafoe, Fils, just coming back. Like, so I'm very, very excited. Also, we should mention Elias Sinner. He's in the final round of qualifying. So
okay,
yeah. By time this is out, he hopefully would have made it. So he's playing Tristan Schoolkate, the Australian, in the final round. He did beat Coleman Wong, which is a very good win, the American, in the first round. So yeah, he hopefully he qualifies, and then I mean, the way it's probably going to pan out, you'll probably get one feast in the first round, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. So, but yeah, how are you? Are you looking forward to it in terms of the men?
Yeah, I am. I think also because we had a lot of new winners in February as well. So it will not bombarded with just Sinkara. Like, for example, one, you know, was it Qatar, for instance, everyone, when we saw the draw, most fans, when we saw the draw, we all predicted like Sinkara's final, only for it to be something else. And the quarterfinal runs were actually really, really good. At the beginning, I wasn't really feeling the Qatar Open. I was like, this is dead. And then after that, it was great. And it's moments like that that makes you, it reminds you that although, yes, we have Sinkaraz and Carlos doing his thing and, you know, Sinner doing his thing, we still have really talented players. I really do feel for the ATP players because I feel like the talent overshadowed. I'll say more like overshadowed. Yeah, you know, for example, like, maybe it's not really a bad example because people still know about him, but I know more players would have probably spoken about Daniil Medvedev. Sorry, more media and fans were talking about Daniil Medvedev, about coming back because he's playing so much better and so on. So, yeah, like, I'm hoping Indian Wells allows them to have that moment again, and it's not just only about Sinner and Carlos. Yeah. We actually do have good ATP players. We just need to give them a little bit more shine. And yeah, at the end of the day, they're all in the same boat. They're all struggling with these two. It's not like there's one person that's, you know, do you get what I mean? So let's move on to the women's. Hopefully, guys, today my Wi-Fi won't be messing up in the last episode. Oh gosh, that was funny. But yeah, moving on to the women's, our girl Coco Gauff, fourth seed. So at Indian Wells, she actually performs well at this tournament. She's made it to the second week since 2023. I think 2 years ago was when she made it to the semi-finals. I think considering how she's been playing at the Middle East, I'm definitely having a little bit more faith for sure. Looking at her draw, to me, it's looking pretty good. Obviously, first round by second round, she could be really interesting. I don't think it's going to be a tough one, but I think it'll be a nice matchup. Bianca Andreescu or qualifier. Bianca has been playing a lot of like WTA, what's it called?
125
yeah. And challenges and all that. She's been playing really well. Like, she's grinding from the bottom, you know. Listen, being
former champion too.
This is what I'm saying. A Grand Slam champion doing these type of stuff. It's not that easy, but no, yeah.
I'm saying she won Indian Wells, didn't she?
Did she?
She beat Serena in that final.
Was it not Serena in for US Open?
Pretty sure she beat Serena.
It's been such a while from Bianca.
It's been a minute, I know.
My bad, bruh. She could face again, Coco could face again Ayala for round three. But honestly, when looking at her rest of the draw, for me, I feel like it could get only tough when she gets to the semi-final, which I really think that she can. I feel like she has a type of draw where the ball is actually on her hand. And I feel like it all depends on the level that she's bringing in. Definitely do think she needs to clean it up a little bit from Middle East. But that's generally just, I would say it's only just a double fold. I think she's improved a lot with the forehand. And I think the conditions will help her with that as well. For me personally, I think it will actually help how she's playing. But yeah, because if, you know, again, a lot of players are not a fan of how the courts are in the Indian Wells. But when you look at her record, it plays well for her. So I think Coco's result will all depend on how she will feel and how she's playing. So I hope she's learned a lot from Middle East. She feels relaxed. I know she's really proud of what she's done because Middle East doesn't have the best of the run. So I feel like because she had a good run there, it could boost her up a little bit. So yeah, I just hope she doesn't think too much about certain stuff. But again, like I said, the reason why I'm not too worried is because y'all ain't beating her. So
yeah, last year it was round of 16 where she lost to Bencic.
Yes.
But year before that, semi-finals.
Semi-finals, exactly,
She lost to Sakkari. Mm-hmm. So yeah, year before that, quarter-finals. Like, yeah, she tends to go deep.
And Indian Wells, yeah.
And I feel like, again, like, she's in a good space. Like, like you said, getting those wins in the Middle East, that's going to put her in, like, kind of good shape going ahead, like, well, for the rest of the season, I feel. Just because, obviously, after Australia, it was a bit rocky. Like, and the way she went out in Australia too was, it was a bit of a surprise. I mean, now it's like, yeah, on to the next one now, like it is most weeks.
That's it, really.
And yeah, she's the fourth seed. So, I mean, she's obviously one of the favourites, but I think it's going to be very interesting to see, because I can't, we're going to give our predictions at the end, but I don't think we're going to get like a, what do you call it, one of the favourites winning. I feel like we're going to get like a surprise winner, but more on that later.
I had the same thing as well for WTA, yeah. But yeah, we'll talk about that later. But
I just also, just to correct myself, it wasn't Serena in the final for Andreescu. It was Kerber.
Yeah.
It was Kerber.
I remember that US Open final.
Yeah.
There's no way it was Indian Wells. But yeah, but I did forget that she did win the Indian Wells, though. I thought her only big title was US Open. But yeah, but shout out to Goff. I'm looking forward to her kit as well, obviously, New Balance. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, even her hair, because she had like her natural hair in February, and she had braids when she was in Australia. So interesting to see what she's going to do for Miami Open. Up next, our girl, Jasmine Paolini. As you said earlier, Eugene, interesting start of the year. You know, it's been a little bit rocky. Do need to remind people that January, though, she was a little bit sick under the weather as well, if you remember. That did play into it. But yeah, her jaw's actually not too tough. So yeah, I think it's going to be really like, I think for me, it's going to be more about like how she's, I feel about Paolini and her performance in Indian Wells is going to, it's the same as Coco. Like, I feel like the ball's going to be like on her. Like, it's all about how she's going to come in, how she's going to play. Kind of hard for me to predict because, like I said, the beginning of this season has been a little bit up and down. But Paolini is one of them players where you just don't know what to really expect. But yeah, you don't know. Like, what I mean by that is that she can come in and play like a beast. She can come in and play like, okay, and she might still win or she might still lose. You get what I mean? So is she going to be more powerful? She's going to be moving more? How's the condition going to suit her game? Not sure yet. So I personally don't know what to predict from Paolini this Indian Wells, but I'll be real. What do you think?
Yeah, no, because it's Anastasia Potapova or qualifier in round two. Potapova, that won't be easy, you know. That'd be tough. If it is Potapova, that is.
For Jasmine, I don't know.
Potapova is a good player, Lucy. Like,
I don't think. I'm not saying Potapova is a bad player, but when I'm putting her against Jasmine Paolini, I have Paolini easily for me, anyways.
Okay, but yeah, I think everything you said is pretty much spot on. Like, it's one of those ones where if she's playing well, like, yeah, she's gonna win that.
Yeah,
like quite comfortably. But I feel like, yeah, going away to Mexico and getting the wild card. Yes, she didn't reach the final or win the tournament, but to win those two matches, I think that's going to do her, like, it's going to do her well, basically. She needed those two wins because, yeah, like I said, losing early rounds in the Middle East, like, it's kind of nice to kind of, yeah, get back on the winning track again. So she's there, even though, yeah, she did lose in the semi-finals. And I mean, yeah, Indian Wells is going to be a clean slate. So, yeah, let's see how she does.
For sure. Next seed, Victoria Mobuko, 10th seed. Her first Indian Wells. I thought it was her second, but her first 1,000 tournament was Miami Open, not Indian,
So is this going to be the last tournament we can say is her debut? Because everything else now, she was I'm saying that, debut.
Looks like it, yeah. Unless she plays some tournaments where she hasn't played yet, season. Yeah. But yeah. It's funny because I've wrote down here dark horse, but is she really a dark horse though?
Hell no.
Like, because I know there's some players, they looked at the jewel, they're like, I don't want to face that girl, you know. I'm not in the mood. I am not in the mood. I know there's some players who do not want to face Mobuko. But to be honest, I don't have crazy expectations because, again, this is her first Indian Wells, even though, like, she's been climbing up quickly. Like, it's like, for me, I'm just letting her just be free, play, see how it is. The conditions in Indian Wells are different from where she's been playing before. Mm. This is a different type of vibe, different type of environment. But, again, this might actually help her bring, like, her A game. Victoria's one of them players where if there's a big stage, big opponent, she's still going to be fighting through.
She rises, yeah.
She rises, yeah. Exactly. And her draw's looking decent. I won't be surprised if she makes a second week, in all honesty. But again, it's all like, we're all good, you know, debut and everything. Still young, still trying to figure things out. I hope, I just hope that she's healthy. I think her body's that prone to injury pretty quickly, because even what a lot of people actually don't know is that before she had her breakthrough, Mobogo actually was like out, like she wasn't playing for a minute because she was like, she had an injury like for months. And then she recovered, came back and was on a crazy winning streak. And since then, it's just been boom, 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 boom. So I'm glad that she took a break after Dubai, was it?
Yes. Was it Doha? One of the two, yeah.
One of the two, Dubai or Doha, apologies. So yeah, I'm glad she took a break. So hopefully that is going to help, like it helped her rest her body, because you need to keep in mind as well, like a lot of times she's wrapped up with something.
I think the final, I didn't see any wrapping, which is good. I'm pretty sure she was playing without any wrapping.
Okay, I can't remember the top of my head because it's been like a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's just, I just hope that, you know, she just continues to take care of like her body and stuff, you know. But yeah, other than that, I think she'll be great this tournament. Even if she has an early exit, listen, she's been killing it. 10th seed already, so hey, you can't take that away.
I think that, like you said, Lucy, she's in a nice section of the draw. Like, she starts in the second round against Kimberly Burrell or Oksana Selekmeteva, I think of Russia. So again, I'm looking at that thinking, yeah, that is a good draw for Mboko. And again, like you said, this is also her debut, so it's like new experience. But again, a lot of eyes are going to be on her, but
for sure
she's definitely gonna, I think she's gonna enjoy it, as she's kind of shown like that's been the case. So do not be surprised to see her make a deep run again at a WTA 1000. So yeah, looking forward to seeing Mboko, definitely.
For sure. Up next, we have our girl, Madison Keys, 15 seed. I feel like Keys is just chilling, you know? She's just like, you know what? I'm just here, you know?
You say that. She wanted to play Austin. She wanted to play Austin.
She wanted to play Austin.
Did you see that drama? Yeah. So, because Austin is a 250.
Oh, yeah, because it can't have
as many. Well, I think it's, there's a limit to the,
I think it's only one top 10 player that can be.
Exactly. And yeah, the top 10 player was Jessica Pegula, but Pegula pulled out. So there's like,
oh yeah, the drop. Yeah, I saw, that's what, I was thinking,
So Keys wanted to play Austin, but she couldn't because her.
But if a player pulls out, why can't she go next?
I guess, like, obviously, I'm guessing, like, logistics. She probably wasn't even in Texas, like, maybe, by the time, do you get me? Pegula said she was going to put out.
And what's so funny, Pegula was just there in Austin, just chilling, wandering around, gallivanting around.
I didn't even see. But, yeah, like I know.
She was still there.
I know Madison Keys wanted to play, but she couldn't because, yeah, that spot was taken by her podcast co-host. But, yeah, Keys.
What? Speaking of podcasts, how do you feel about their podcast and those white guys' podcasts? What is it again?
Oh, wow. Is that where we're going? I thought this is a quick pod. nothing major.
That's it.
Yeah.
You saw the announcement, right? That they're going to be for Miami. How do you feel about the podcast? Like,
I won't lie to you, Lucy. I'm not feeling it. If I'm being completely honest, if I'm being completely honest, yeah.
Why not?
It was so annoying.
I'm just being a messy boot.
I did not come on here to.
I'm joking. All right, no, seriously.
Because, yeah, basically, I feel like play is, because, well, what's their one called again? I forgot.
The one with Keys and Pegula.
Pegula, yeah.
I keep forgetting the name as well.
I take issue with theirs more than Nothing Major because...
Really?
Yeah.
Because they're active players.
Exactly. Like, come on.
You I'll give you that in case, like, we have new listeners. You've actually always said that active players should not be at here.
Come on, podcast
chatting. Yeah, but you've actually always said that. That's true.
Be a guest on, like... Be a guest on ours, Maddie. Come on ours and be a guest. I'm putting it out there right now. But, yeah, like, allow having, like... I love the insight that players give, like through vlogs, and we're seeing a lot more of that now. Shouts out to Shelton, Feast, Casper Ruud, like
Draper's a new one who announced
that recently. Draper, like that's for me, that's brilliant because you're showing us the day to day of your work, like in terms of that is what your job, in terms of what you're doing on the tour, traveling to tournaments, training, practicing. Mm-hmm. Like podcasting isn't part of the profession of being a tennis player.
it's giving sharp and hit ball, man.
Stop it. I'll never say that.
Coach Carter, tennis version.
But nothing major. At least with them, they're all retired. I don't listen to them. The podcast I listen to, obviously ours, Grandpa. Shouts out to Anastasia and Nick
for sure.
I listen to Andy Roddick as well. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to Chris Eubanks as well because he occasionally comes on Andy Roddick as well. They're the only podcasts I really listen to, Lucy. Like so, and it's becoming a thing where like there are so many more like coming, which is great. Like insight and like it's I guess it is growing the sport, but I do feel like it is a bit dangerous for like active players to be podcasting on the side as well. Like I just don't feel like it's necessary. Like what are your views? I know you have takes.
I'm with you, especially that we are in the space, because for me I feel like it kind of takes the opportunity away for other podcasts to be doing other stuff. Like, you know, of course they're gonna get the numbers because they are active players. Do you get what I mean? Like, of course they're easily gonna get the guests, they're easily gonna get the resources. So I would have love to see another non-player podcast actually have the deal with the Miami Open. The good thing is this could potentially open the doors.
100%. That's a great point.
That's the 100%. Thing. The good thing, it can potentially open the doors because tennis is still so behind when it comes to podcasting. We can talk from our experience at Wimbledon. Wimbledon, for instance, they still put us under the radio category because they still try. Honestly, like I feel like the first year, because I think before us, if I'm correct, and forgive me if I'm not, but I think before we applied, I think it was only the tennis podcast that was really there. And when we started, I feel like we were the guinea pigs. Like, 100%. Oh, okay, more, because there was a massive change after the first year that we were accredited for Wimbledon. Like now they had a...
Shouts out to Tennis Weekly too.
Shout out to Tennis Weekly. I listen to them. They're very engaging. They're very fun. But for example, if they had like a deal or something, it will make sense. Do you get what I mean? Because what a lot of these tennis brands or tennis tournaments fail to understand is that we have a connection to the community that you do not have. And we have connection to the people that, okay, fair enough, they're not attending to the tournaments, but they will have everything because they listen to us. Like I said, tennis fans are the biggest nerds. Brands, however, do not know how to take advantage of that because they don't have that connection with the actual communities, because the regular fans, it's very easy to target them. Hey, Carlos Alcaraz is playing, come spend your money and come enjoy it, done. The actual tennis fans, though, there's more to that you actually connect to them, and this is where you need the others. But I feel like tennis just relies too much on brands just rely too much on the tennis stars to get the things moving when it's just, you know, it's just expanding. But yeah, I as much as a positive on it, like I said again, all of these things, the vlog, the podcasting, Eugene, this is all done for them to get extra money.
No, 100%, yeah.
All of it is done to get extra money. But again, as a podcaster, I'm like, well, damn, you're taking my potential money. Maybe not me, but at least people in my industry, do you get what I mean? Like, we put a lot of hard time and like, what, look at us, we just finished work and we just put on a computer right now. You're still in your work clothes. I'm still here, you know, and as soon as we're done, I have to get this out and edit and whatnot. And
a lot of effort.
A lot of effort. So hopefully by the grace of God soon, these efforts will be paid well, but I'm with you, man. Focus on your matches. I'm joking. But for Keys, anyways, the match that she needs to focus on, she is that she could potentially face the GOAT, Venus Williams, round two, as she has a first round bye. Her draw is slightly tough, but again, I feel like Keys, ever since she's won her Grand Slam, it's just been like, out here, innit? And you know, with the podcast popping off, who knows? She might just be like, you know what, I'm just going to podcast. So we'll see. But yeah. Up next, Naomi Osaka, 16th seed, 2018 Indian Wells champion. I remember when she won that. Good times. First match since the Australian Open. Last year, she lost early to Osorio first round. But again, I think the Australian Open review, I did say that around this time of the year, ever since she's given birth, Osaka's dealing with this injury, and I remember her telling her that there's a period where this injury actually bothers her.
The abdominal
which started after she gave birth to her daughter. So yeah, so because of that, I'm not expecting a lot, me personally anyways. That's how I'm feeling, especially that she hasn't played since then. So
it's Ivelisse or Cathy McNally in round two.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I think that's a good draw, though, to be fair.
I think her draw gets tough until the fourth round, because fourth round she could face Sabalenka.
Okay.
Third round she could face Jovic, but Jovic is still. I, unlike many fans, I do respect Jovic, but I do think she needs a little bit more time still facing bigger, tough players. But Osaka is someone that she could beat. She can beat her, but if Osaka's coming on form and locked in, it's an easy win.
Jovic is one to look out for, because she played Austin as well, and I'm pretty sure she had a bit of an injury scare against playing again. She's playing with Tomljanovic. She had a lot of strapping around her leg. Definitely look out for Jovic. But like I agree. She's a super talent and definitely one to look out for.
For sure.
But yeah, Osaka, I'm just glad to see her back, because exactly, we've not seen her since Australia. So I'm very, very excited to see how she does. And like you said, former champion as well. Like, she knows how to play in California. Mm-hmm. And I like that draw. Like, that second round for her is, for me, very, very good in terms of,
for
like,
sure,
gives her kind of the ability to play her way in. So, yeah, we'll see how Osaka does.
We shall see. I think I forgot to write someone on our notes here. Hayley Baptiste.
Okay, yeah. So she's got Emiliana Arango in the first round. In the second round, she could play the third seed, Elena Rybakina.
Yeah.
So that would be very, very, very,
I suppose she faced her last year during the second hard court swing. I think she did face her.
Okay. So yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. Have you got...
She actually did an interview with Craig Shapiro Tennis Podcast.
Okay.
And they kind of touched...
Another podcast. I'm joking. To be fair, he gets a lot of it. He's definitely an inside dude. Like, he gets all, like, these exclusive...
Yeah, because his podcast, his interviews are very, like... Because it's very chilled and it's still very niche. So it's like, if you're really into tennis and you want to get the scoop, here you go. Do you get what I mean? So, which is a good thing.
Listening to him interview Holger Rune's mum. Very, very interesting. Mm. And shout out to Holger as well.
Why are you shouting out Holger?
He's got a very good eye.
Oh, swear down. I'm telling you. Melanin March.
Anyway.
Melanin March. reparations.
I do want to listen to that Hayley Baptiste interview, actually. I did see it.
I will recommend it. One thing that I did like is that they touch on her split with Eric.
Okay.
Look at Hayley getting out there.
Yeah, she is.
Do you remember when we first interviewed her?
Yeah.
Like, she was super shy. Like,
yeah, she was very...
I think we were her first, like, interview or international. I think, like,
Yeah. But I remember someone telling me that she actually did really like that interview with us and stuff. Oh, so, yeah. We would love to have her back. I think we should definitely have her back during the grass season. But based on that, I don't want to sound as if she was being like rude or anything or saying, or F Eric. Like, she even said, listen, I'm so happy with the things I accomplished with Eric and stuff. But it was given they were bumping heads.
Interesting.
Okay. It was given they were bumping heads. I think Hayley also has the personality of, you know what, if I'm tired of you, get out of my face type of thing. In general, I don't think it's just like an Eric thing, but from what I was gathering, she was so respectful and, you know, thanking him and everything. She didn't sound like she was in a rush or sending a coach. I think I forgot the name of the person that she's working with, but she's working with someone that she's known since she was a child. A little bit like someone like Franklin, basically, in a sense of they've known each other for a very long time, so they know how to like work together and everything. So it was more of that.
I'm pretty sure he was working with her. Well, it was like a two-part thing anyway.
Exactly.
Like two members part of the team.
Yeah, exactly. But then after Franklin left, it was then that guy, I forgot his name, apologies, but with Eric. But she did say that she's not really looking for someone, like she's not in a rush to look for someone. Yeah, so like, if it happens, it happens. Her agents like her team are like keeping an eye and stuff, but yeah, not really much here. But I really hope she gets an opportunity soon because she's been on the past year has been really great. She's been playing the best. She's slimmed down like crazy, like her fitness been great. She's the start of the season been great again, a bit like Jello, just because she's been having some really tough, you know, draws and opponents and stuff. I was gutted about her partnership ending with Eric because I feel like they were great, but you know, it is what it is. You got to keep it pushing.
Definitely.
Best of luck to her at Indian Wells. We got some wild cards for our girls. Alicia Parks, I think she's facing a qualified first round.
Exactly. Second round is tough. Yes, sir.
Arina Sabalenka, round two.
And also, I saw some really weird tweets last week as well about, well, when the wild cards were announced. I don't know if you saw that.
What?
Just like people saying, oh, like certain players shouldn't be getting wild cards. As far as I'm concerned, Lucy.
Wait, were they saying about Parks?
I hope not. But what I'm about to say, and this is obviously hypothetical because it doesn't exist. But if I was tennis commissioner, yeah, say if that role exists and Eugene Allen is the tennis commissioner,
yeah,
2026, Alicia Parks is getting a wild card to any tournament she wants for the rest of the year. Do you know why?
Why?
Because the way she came through that first round match against Alex Ayala in Australia. For me, that should grant her a wild card to any tournament she wants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And anyone who wants to argue with me, I'm the commissioner.
Hey! If Eugene Allen has that role, yeah, just know it's going to be Black Girl Fest, Black Boy Fest. We're going to have a little cookout. Requirement is black. Okay, thank you very much. Have black. Thank you very much. Mother Ghanaian, I got you. Paolini, you're in.
First round buys.
For all the blacks. Melanin March.
All right.
I feel you.
But yeah, that's tough. Sabalenka, it is tough.
But I think, if Parks brings in her game, it's going to be a good match.
100%. Yeah.
Because
she's
She's playing well. And the thing is with Sabalenka, she's coming into the tournament. We don't actually know what to predict. She hasn't played since the Australian Open final. I think this is the longest we have not seen her really play. It's funny because I don't think people are putting pressure on Sabalenka, but I think she's putting pressure on herself because hard court She has all the titles for all the big hardcore tournaments except for Indian Wells. And it was the only one that's missing out of a hardcore thing.
Okay. Yeah.
She was close twice last year in 2018, I think. There's one year she lost to Iga. So it's going to be interesting to see how she... I think that's going to be in her head a lot. I feel like Sabalenka, when she wants something a lot, it can either go completely left, which is why I think she's been losing quite a few finals, or it can go right. But I think it's going to be tough for Sabalenka.
We'll see.
We'll see. But other than that, queen, GOAT, inventor of tennis, inventor of everything, inventor of the WTA. You girls wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the one and only Venus Williams. At least her first round is against a qualifier. She's also playing doubles with Leyla Fernandez. She really likes that little girl,
which is cute. Yeah,
Leyla, if I was you, I appreciate that. You know, take pictures and show it to your kids in the future. Be like, I was playing with the GOAT. But yeah, really cool seeing Venus playing, just having fun. And yeah, we also have Sloane Stephens. She pulled out of Mexico, didn't she?
She did. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I don't know why.
I think it was a mix of two. I think it was a mix of maybe safety reasons because, you know, things are happening in Mexico right now, not just Dubai. Praise to everyone.
In the Middle East, no, definitely.
Yes, yeah. We should have started off with that, to be fair, because it's crazy. Because there are some tennis players who are actually stuck there. Daniel Medvedev is still stuck there. I think they said that they might leave. Some tennis professionals are supposed to leave today.
They're also playing challenges, like, in the area too, which is wild.
They stopped it. Right. But I was like, why did this even start? Like, people are dying here. Like, what are we doing? But yeah, really, really silly. So I think it was either safety or because right before that, she did announce publicly that she and her husband have broken up. I did notice for a very long time because she was not posting him her ring that used to blind me whenever I used to see her in person. Did I freeze? Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, because you froze.
No,
you froze. You were saying still. Sorry, her ring that used to blind me. Was no longer on site for a very long time. Like, I'm talking about since, like, French Open. So it's been a minute. So I think maybe announcing that probably hit her more because now it was more public. Obviously, a lot of the fans, like, obviously she'd be going through this privately, but it's different because now maybe there's even people that she knew messaging her, oh, I'm so sorry. And then it was like, I can't actually play. So if it's that, Stevens, listen, I hope you're good, sending all love, support, and prayers. And girl, you are beautiful. Do you know how many times my male friends send me messages asking me, who's that? And I was like, she is in a loving black relationship. But now she's a single woman. So, you know, Sloane Stephens, if you need to be outside, shake some ass and be free, holla at your girl, you know. I am the friend you want to have when you're going through a breakup. I'm telling you, I'm the party animal. I am the friend. We'll go outside. We'll have some fun. But yeah, that is it. Eugene, Alan.
Wait. No, qualifiers. So we have one.
Yes, Taylor Townsend.
Exactly. So Taylor Townsend, straight from Austin, goes over to Indian Wells, wins her first round qualifying match. And in her second round qualifying match, she'll play Akasha Ohobo, who's a 19-year-old American. Nigerian heritage.
Hey.
So we're definitely gonna have a black girl in the main draw from that final round of qualifying. Very, very tough that they both have to play each other. But yeah, massive shouts out to Townsend as well, because that's a hell of an effort.
For real. She's out here grinding.
Yeah, so be looking out for that. And obviously by the time this comes out, we would know who's won. So yeah, very, very interesting.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, we were going to say predictions. God.
Predictions. So I'm with you. I think women, new winner.
Yeah.
Or not like you're the obvious, like, not exactly. Like, I don't think the defending champion, just to remind everyone, is Mira Andreeva. I don't think she's being able to defend that. Not because I don't think she's talented. I think it's been a little bit tough on her at the beginning of this year, but also, guys, It's just too competitive right now. Everyone's on smoke. Because even the things about the WTA right now, yeah, it's so interesting because even the top players is competitive. But even when you have, like, you look at the top 20, the top 30.
Yeah, it's stacked, yeah.
It's stacked. Yeah. So that's the thing. It's literally from Arina Sabalenka to whoever is, like, in the top 30, like, rank, it is busy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. So Sabalenka, I'd be really surprised if she really pushed through. She does. Hey, kudos to her. But yeah, I think it's going to be someone different.
You got a name?
I don't have, bro. WTA is just too... I don't know.
On the men's side?
Carlos.
Yeah, I don't know if I
Eugene... Can. I don't think Carlos is losing until the second hard court swing. I'm being so real.
I don't know if I could argue that, you know.
What he played in Middle East is not normal.
I think the level I saw from Medvedev against Felix, that was a bit scary. I thought Medvedev, he looked so locked in.
Well, and when he played against black players.
he looked like he was back. So I think Medvedev is going to make a deep run.
Okay, the conditions the conditions suits him well.
Yeah.
So what you have? So hold on, for women, who do you have predictions?
I can't say, but exactly.
It's so hard.
I'm like you. Like, I just don't see it. I don't think it's going to be anyone from the top 10.
Okay, like, cool. Men. You have Medvedev.
I'm going. No, I think Carlos as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if Medvedev does pull something out. Like, but again, I also feel like wishful thinking. Yes, Black's big global hat. I feel like Felix is playing really well, man. I really do.
What are you saying? Felix second week,
I feel like he's also due. Like, he's due a Masters 1000. This is also the first Masters 1000 of the year on the ATP.
For the ATP, so, yeah. That's true.
And I just feel like Felix, he is due one of these. Like, and he's playing very... Yes, he lost that match against Medvedev in the semifinals. Top seed as well, he was in Dubai. But I feel like he's playing very, very good tennis this year, man. And I just feel like it's only a matter of time until he does win a big one. Mm-hmm. And this could be it.
Okay.
But in saying that, Alcaraz is just, he's just another level. More so than Sinner, which is crazy.
Crazy.
Fact.
Crazy.
Women, I feel like we have to give a name though for the women, Lucy. We have to.
Women?
We have to give a name.
Rybakina, let's go.
But that's top 10.
At least I gave a name. I had her for Australian Open. No, did I have her for... Yeah, I had her for Australian Open. She won the Australian Open.
It's tough, man.
Rybakina, maybe Pegula can do a madness.
Yeah, Pegula's playing well. Yeah, she is.
She just won that 1,000 title. She's like, let me rest a little bit.
Oh, I can't give a name. That's crazy.
Eugene, if I gave a name, I have to give a name. 3, 2,
sitting
one.
On the fence. Like,
guys.
I was going to say Mboko, but she's top 10 as well.
Mboko, Rybakina, Carlos Alcaraz, Felix Auger-Aliassime. We shall see.
Medvedev in brackets.
Medvedev in brackets. We shall see. And on that note, guys, enjoy the Indian Wells. We are not sure if we're going to come back right after Indian Wells. Keep you posted because...
Someone's traveling.
I'm traveling, guys, okay? Oh. I'm tired. Tennis has been taking a lot of my annual leaves. Eugene has been disturbing my black spin. It's enough. I need a break. I'm flying out and having a good ass time, okay?
As you should.
But we'll be very active on social. I'll be active on TikTok. And we'll be having a good time. Oh, and also shout out to Grandpas. They are at Indian Wells. Great.
Huge.
And it's crazy because last year she was covering for
exactly
us
for
in Indian Wells.
And now
she's covering for Grandpas. So shout out to Grandpas. So if you guys want to get some insight from someone who's going to be on site, it is Grandpas Podcast. Shout out to our girl.
Well said.
And it's a wrap.